Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to. And we've got a pretty scary one this week, I gotta say. This movie is pretty scary, but before we get into it, Emily, did anything scary happen to you this week?
Yes. Okay. So, listeners may know that I never make dinner anymore. that Joel makes dinner just every single night that we eat dinner at home. It's made by Joel. I'm very lucky. he likes to cook. I don't really, but like I used to live alone. I know how to like cook food. I can cook things. I've done it before. I know how to do it. I've done it, but I never do it anymore. I never have to cook dinner. And Joel started doing some freelance work. So last week, you know, I always text someone on my way home from work, not so he can like get dinner on the table, but just so he knows when I'm coming home. And I didn't hear from him until I'm almost home. And he was like, okay, I'm still at work. And I knew that if he stayed late enough, they were going to give him dinner. And so I was like, okay, so time for me to do dinner for me. And I had to stop at Target to pick up a prescription. So I was like, great. I'll just like, you know what? Like it's late. It was like 7:30, you know, that's late for me. I need to eat and get this done, you know,
I've started eating dinner at like 5:30 since the time change.
Well, when the time change happens, early. It's also like, I'm trying to be in bed by 10 and it's like, if we're eating dinner at 8, we're already,
you need at least like 2 to 3 hours to,
with
heartburn, you can't,
I gotta be upright.
You're playing with fire.
Exactly. You get it. So I was like, okay, got to figure out how to have a dinner and do it quick. And so I was like, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll just like, I was like, I remember that there's like a little Panera section at Target with like soups and stuff. And I was like, great, I'll get like a soup. And I found a broccoli cheddar Panera soup, looked good. And I was like, oh, and I'll get some like frozen broccoli and I'll put that in it. So it'll be like even extra broccoli. And in my head, I'm like, this makes sense. This is a great idea. And I get home and I'm like heating up the soup and it all was like more difficult than I thought it was going to be. More of a microwave. So it's like I am still like using pots and pans and like making the broccoli, making the soup. And Joel gets home while I'm doing this and he was like, what are you doing? Like what? And I like, and so here also, it turns out that this soup, I think it was either disgusting or expired. So I made this whole thing and I pour this soup over my broccoli and it's like disgusting and horrifying. And it's this like big, and I put it in like one of those big wide pasta bowls to like cool it down faster because it was getting late. And I just have this wide, nasty bowl of like gross soup over frozen broccoli. And I felt like I was like when you break a bone and you put a cast on it. And so you take the cast off, that muscle is like completely withered and atrophied.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
If you don't use it, you lose it. And I was like, I don't know how to make myself dinner. Like, and it makes me feel like I'm like fucking like 1950s husband who's like, I don't even know how to make dinner. Like fucking Harry Styles and Don't Worry Darling, like banging on the potatoes with a decanter, where I'm like, honestly, we made a lot of fun of that, but I think I get it. I like don't know how to cook anymore.
It's relatable now.
It was just really strange. It was strange.
Cooking sucks. I hate it.
Yeah.
You know, I hate it as well.
I hate it.
I'm really sorry that you had to do it for even one single night. Is too
Thank
much.
You. Well, and guess what? I didn't eat the soup. I poured it all straight in the trash. It was horrible.
I mean, yeah, it sounds like it was disgusting.
And I had a hard boiled egg and a little bit of salad and like some cheese. It was like, I can't fend for myself. Which is upsetting.
I mean, you're preaching to the choir here. I feel like this is all sounding extremely familiar to me. So
thank you. I know. You get it.
Don't feel ashamed.
Thank you. Joel really was confused. So anyway, it was a little bit scary. It was a little bit scary.
Well, that does sound scary. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Thank you. I made it. Hopefully I'll never have to make dinner for myself ever again.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Sammy, has anything scary happened to you this week?
Well, speaking of men in the 1950s.
Great.
I have a group of friends that we have a tradition of celebrating International Men's Day together.
There's an International Men's Day?
You bet your ass there is. Isn't that so funny?
Yeah, that's every day.
It's
literally every day.
It's that's why it's so funny. And so we felt like we need to go celebrate this day together.
What is the day?
We went to Jumbo's Clown Room last year. Well, here, listen, Emily. So what happened was I had a nightmare that we had forgotten International Men's Day.
Oh, no.
And I woke up and I looked it up and it is today. It's today. And
wow, I'm so honored to be with you for International Men's Day.
That's right. But the scary thing is, of course, that I have some sort of psychic internal clock about International Men's Day.
Mm-hmm. You knew.
I knew.
So what is it? November 19th? Is that?
Yes. And this episode will come out a little late. So a little later.
Okay.
So sorry.
You all missed it.
You guys did miss it. But for next year, remember to mark your calendars. Or I'll try to tell my dream to kick in a little earlier, give me a little more notice, because unfortunately my friend that I celebrate with was at a wedding this weekend. She was really upset.
Oh god.
She was like, how dare they have their wedding on International
Men's Day? It's not right.
So happy International Men's Day to all of you men out there. This year, I hope you had a great November 19th, your special day.
I gotta do something for Joel.
You got to.
You still have time. Wow.
Yeah. So that was pretty scary, but also very funny. I really, really laughed and laughed when I saw that it was this weekend. I was like, well,
your brain knew.
That's what I've been thinking about, I guess, in my subconscious. Very cool stuff.
I mean,
stuff.
It is the holiday season, you know?
It's the holiday season, and I knew. Yep.
And you knew.
My favorite holiday was coming up.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, should we talk about this week's movie?
I guess so.
Oh my gosh. This week we are going to be talking about Terrified. Came out in 2018. It was written and directed by Damian Rugna, starring Maximiliano Gioni, Noberto Gonzalo, Elvira Onedo, George L. Lewis, Julieta Valina, and Damian Solomon. And it is streaming on Shudder.com. And we have a couple guests with us today. One of them is a man.
That's me.
Happy International Men's Day.
Thank you so much. I did, you know, have to pause all my festivities to join you.
But, Huge.
I made an exception for today. Told the boys to just wait.
Boys gotta wait.
We'll get back to the cigar chomping soon.
I was gonna say, what kind of festivities is that? Like backyard wrestling?
Fart competitions? Lots of cigars.
LAN party.
Yep. LAN party. Sure. Yeah, sure. Different flavor of men, but we're all celebrating. That's the beauty of International Men's Day is all flavors of men are celebrating.
You know what? Shout out to all the trans men celebrating International Men's Day, fellas.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fellas,
that's
I feel true. Like you get forgotten on this day, and it's your day, too. Go out there and smoke some cigars and, I don't know, go
throw a football.
I was going to say, throw axes at one of those weird bars where you can throw axes. It's
Eat
your
some
day.
Jerky.
Oh, yeah. Go to that place you can, like, smash things, that rage room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's your day, boys. Have fun.
Ooh, I want to do that. I'll wait for Women's Day.
Yeah, wait, we gotta wait. Today's
right,
not
all booked
for
up today.
Not today. James and Chelsea of Dead Meat, thank you guys for joining us. We are so happy to have you.
Thank you
for having us.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I was just doing a little stream for patrons earlier today, and I mentioned I was going to be on this, and they all got real excited. You guys have a good reputation among horror fans.
Ooh, we love to hear
my
it.
God, thank you.
So don't ruin it. Now you have a...
Pressure's on.
Exactly.
Now we know.
Well, did anything scary happen to you guys this week?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So first of all, I'm also a 1950s husband. I cannot cook and I do not enjoy it.
It's true.
I find it to be one of life's worst tedious little chores that you have to do every day or you die.
It's awful.
Yeah,
I hate it. Let's see. Okay, so I just started crocheting a blanket.
Ooh.
With a bunch of different colors. I'm doing kind of like a 70s color scheme. So I got some like avocado greens and like rusty oranges and yellows.
Love it.
And I've got one color yarn that I'm using. I'm realizing more than the other colors. And I might have to go back to the craft store just to get that one color yarn. And that's very scary to me.
Yeah. An errand to the craft store is a whole to do.
It's a thing.
I need some buttons. I got a coat recently and the buttons are really loud and I don't know.
Wait, how are the buttons loud?
It's like they're made of some sort of tinny cheap thing that just rattles every step you take.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, I need to replace all these buttons, but I don't want to go to a craft store. So I feel you.
Yeah. Especially because it's getting close to Christmas and
it's mayhem.
Yeah, it's total mayhem. It's loud in there. I tend to like the smell of craft stores, but if you don't, it's even more overwhelming during Christmas because everything smells like pine cones.
I can't step foot in them.
Yeah.
I can't step foot inside those stores any time of the year.
I'm about to spend like $25 on buttons through Etsy rather than go and get, they should be what, like $2 total for four buttons?
Just order some online. Support a local, like a small Etsy business and then you can feel better.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's scary. I'm sorry. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. I guess I have like the most actual scary thing out of all these stories, because I'm just thinking about it might have fallen out of the week's limit, but it was really windy here in LA a little bit ago. And, you know, earlier in the day, I like went out, take out the trash or whatever, come back in and I'm at my computer for a good, I don't know, half hour to an hour. And then I leave the office and I see the front door is wide open because I thought I had closed it, but I guess not enough. And the wind had blown it open.
No,
we're like, okay, the dog's always by us. Where's the cat? And I start looking at all the usual spots and the cat's not in any of them.
Oh, no.
I start really freaking out. Because it's like, where could I'm looking in cabinets and in the closet and everything. And so I put on my shoes and I run outside. I'm running down the block. I'm like, I don't think The cat would like leave the house.
I think at this point I'm looking for her and panicking.
Yep, we're you text our housemates making sure.
It's a total panic.
Oh yeah.
When that happens.
Yeah. And I'm like, and we have like coyotes around here too, and hawks and other things that would kill her easily. So I don't think she would go outside. I've never seen her like try to. And if she did, I don't know how far she would get.
I don't think she'd make it very far.
but I'm running down the block. I'm looking everywhere. She was just sitting in a weird spot that like I just completely overlooked. And so I get back inside. I see her. I'm like, damn it, Lucy. Make noise or something when I'm calling for you.
And we are obsessed with our cat. Yeah. Like, it is hard to overstate how much we love our cat. She's gonna be 10 years old this next year. Oh, yeah. And we've had her since she was a baby. And I mean, she's our little baby. She turned James into a cat person.
Oh yeah. Never had a cat before.
The right cat will do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. They're special creatures. And they do get up into some weird spots. So it's when you think you might have lost a cat, or you don't. We have four cats. Oh. And so it's sometimes we're like, they could be anywhere. If you leave a drawer a little bit open, they could be in that corner. Like, one of them hides in the like folds of my partner's pants in his closet. Like, she's also 6 pounds and tiny, so it's like, where is she? So it's a stressful thing.
Yeah,
I get it.
I'm scared.
Glad everybody was okay.
One of my cats, I have two cats that got out in the last place that I lived. They like popped a screen out, and I had that like same.
That's a nightmare of mine.
I know. I was so panicked.
I never leave windows open. Like, we even just got screens installed at our house, but I don't like leaving them open if we're not in the room.
Yeah.
I don't trust her.
Yeah. And probably shouldn't, because my boys popped it right out. And I think it had been a while, but I went outside and found one of them, his name is Bunk, was just sitting frozen in terror, like exactly outside of the window. It's I took a photo of him. It's so funny. I'll try to remember to show everybody.
Like, he got out and then didn't plan this far ahead.
Yeah,
didn't
he
go
was just
anywhere.
Like, so overwhelmed that he just froze, and I had to like come and pick him up.
Oh my god, that for them it'd be like punching a hole to the other side of the universe. Like, they like, what?
That cat just left Plato's cave and did not know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be fucking scared too.
Yeah,
but all the kitties are okay.
Yeah.
Phew.
Scare averted. Okay, well, speaking of scary stuff, how do you guys, well, I know how you feel about horror movies, but tell me a bit about your history with horror movies, your journey.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a horror fan my entire life. I can't remember a time when I wasn't into them, thanks to being brought, like, my parents don't like scary movies, but I did watch Night of the Living Dead as a kid. They like that.
That's
one.
That's a classic.
It is, yeah. And then I just, Scream is a formative memory for me, being too scared of it, and then coming back a few years later and being like, yes, I can watch you now. And then I think by the time I was 10, my mom had come into the local video store with me and wrote a note and was like, he can rent whatever horror movies he wants on his own. I was like, thanks, Mom. So I'd ride my bike up to the video castle, rent all the horror movies I could, bring them back, and with my two VCR system, make bootlegs onto blank VHSs. And so,
hell yeah,
I was doing that.
You got a permission slip for movie rentals.
Oh yeah, that's very sweet. My parents didn't parent really, so but that was one of the times when it worked out, because now it's my job. So thanks, Mom.
I was the opposite as a kid. I was scared of everything. I did not enjoy scary movies as a child. As I got a bit older, you know, I'd watch the classics at sleepovers with my girlfriends. And then in college, I took a horror movie, like, history and theory course. Mm-hmm. And that just, like, changed my life.
That's similar to me. I took a horror class in college as well that, like...
Really? Wait, where'd you go to college?
It was San Francisco State. And this was just a weekend film class where we just like watched horror movies for the whole first day and then had to write a paper on it the second day. But that was, my first kind of like, ooh, I really like this.
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely totally changed how I viewed the genre. And I just became obsessed with it. And and then once we started dating, the first movie we ever watched together was Hellraiser. So
nice.
I love Hellraiser.
That's a sexy one.
It is.
Yeah. It is.
They're they're horny little guys. Horny guys.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's horny horror, which I think is finally starting to make somewhat of a comeback.
Yeah.
After years of laying dormant.
Yeah, we need more. We need more horny horror, please.
We really do. We need more horny fill in the blank, you know? I'll just I'll take it
off. Real, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come on, guys. Life is hard. Make horny content.
Exactly.
Yep, yep.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, what about this movie? I don't know much about it, but I don't think I'm going to like it.
It's not horny.
No, it's
okay.
Not.
No. So there's a strike against.
Yeah. There's a naked butt in it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There's like a tall naked butt man. A tall naked man and his butt.
That's okay. That's something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is this one that you guys have seen like over and over?
No,
is
it, we watched it last night for the first time.
That's why we picked it. We're like, let's watch one we haven't seen, so we have an excuse to watch something we haven't seen.
But I love that.
This director, Damien Rugna, yeah, he just came out with another film this year called When Evil Lurks.
When Evil Lurks,
and we just covered that on our podcast, and that movie is a friggin', I love it.
It's really great.
It's very good, very graphic.
I had heard of Terrified before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before when
just hadn't seen it. And so finally it was like, this is the perfect excuse to watch it because we'd just seen his other movie.
I think it had the misfortune of being called Terrified when Terrifier has
really
come. It's
confusing and confused. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People are like, oh yeah, I saw that. He's like, no, this is a different one. Yeah. It's like how whenever I spit on the ground and talk about how Verotica is the worst horror movie I've ever seen. Verotica. People are like, what's wrong with Veronica, that Spanish found footage film? Yeah. Like, no, that one's good.
Veronica's good.
Different things, yeah.
We need more letters.
Yeah, right. More letters.
Come on, guys.
So, yeah, When Evil Lurks, I felt was close to a masterpiece. I really loved it.
Yeah.
And so we were excited.
That movie's very confident.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that I think he really learned a lot from making Terrified. Like, it's a very good second movie.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of how like we both majored in film, and after we wrapped any student film, our professor would always say like, okay, now you're ready to like make the film that you just made, you know. Mm-hmm. Feel like you're totally ready to make a movie after you've made the movie.
Yes.
And watching his two movies back
just
to back,
note, he has been making movies since like 2008, so he has more than just
the
two.
He does.
It's just the others must not have broken through, because at least on English language Wikipedia they don't have links.
They don't.
So
I
guess
see.
Terrified was the first of his to like get a more international distribution.
See, that was my mistake then.
Yeah
but still the jump
there's
in,
still a massive jump I
in,
think
yeah
cool.
I was excited that you guys picked this one because same thing, I just saw When Evil Lurks because I heard it was so great and also loved it, and
which we will be covering it at some point.
Yeah, we'll cover it eventually, also when Henley's not here, because we know Henley doesn't like child deaths, and
we obviously don't care.
There are some in that.
They don't bother us, it's only Henley.
And in this, so just know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it had been on my list, bumped to the top of my list since seeing When Evil Lurks, so I was glad that you guys chose it.
How did you watch it?
I watched on Shudder.
Shudder, yeah. Okay, I was testing to see if you had Shudder, because I love it.
Oh, yeah,
Even though it's, I feel like it's gotten... there's no upkeep on it. I don't think anyone cares about it because it now is owned by whoever owns Warner.
Yeah, they slashed a lot of budgets for sure, right. Unfortunately.
And I'm like, damn, man, give some love to this awesome service. And I love its library, but sometimes like with this and with When Evil Lurks, the subtitles are weird really sometimes.
Yeah, I agree there. I was noticing that as well. Have you guys seen Birth Rebirth?
No, what is
that? On Shudder as well. Just a movie I watched last night that was one of the most upsetting things, that Henley would simply not survive if she heard the recap of it. So I don't think we'll be doing that one.
Is it Birth Rebirth?
Birth Rebirth.
Okay.
It's really good, but it is a tough one.
Okay.
But yeah, also on Shudder.
We love Shudder.
This movie has a 77% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 73% on Metacritic, and a 6.5 on IMDb. Real standard IMDb rating there. That's
That's every movie.
Every movie, basically.
I can't take IMDb seriously because it's 6 point or 7 point something. Yep. Every movie. Yep. Every single movie.
Every single
That's
time.
The range. It's we're just judging everything on a scale from 6 to 7 on IMDb.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no budget or money info available because it didn't come out in theaters. So don't have that info. It is a Shudder original. And yeah, there just wasn't much trivia for it. But like you guys said, this was his first internationally distributed feature. And so
where's he from?
Is he Argentina?
Argentina. Okay.
Yes, so okay. Spanish language. The Spanish in this movie was a lot easier for me to understand than the Spanish in When Evil Lurks.
I was listening to your guys' When Evil Lurks episode, and I had the same thing. Because, I mean, Emily speaks Spanish. I'm learning a little bit of Spanish, and I like to...
But Argentinian Spanish is a really specific accent.
Yes, exactly.
It's like, it can be pretty hard to pick up.
Yeah, I forget the name of the dialect that people were telling me.
I was reading the comments.
But it has some, like, Italian influence in it. So, this was, again, there's also like a character who apparently is not a native Spanish speaker in here, but they never address it.
Yeah.
But his character's like asking like, tienes, and the other guy's like, miedo. And he's like, oh yeah, tienes miedo. And it's like, I don't know why this guy is not a native Spanish speaker and they don't address it, but I appreciated his slow cadence because it allowed me to.
Well, they kind of address it because they say he's done like stuff in the States, like it's similar to.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah. He was like the fellow doctor that they brought in. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. They say he's had experience other places. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, but I had the same exact thing in When Evil Lurks. I was like, I'm going to be able to understand some of this stuff. And then I was like, wait, is this Spanish? Like,
right.
I'm not understanding anything.
Yeah. Ooh, I think supernatural horror is my favorite to hear about. I don't know why that is, but I feel like it's been a while since we've done. I think just because to get like a genuinely very scary supernatural film, I think of a lot of them as being like pretty hokey. It's like hard to like really pull that off, I feel like, for whatever reason. So when we do a supernatural horror that's like that, I'm told is actually very, very scary, I get excited.
Yeah.
Are you a skeptic or do you believe in the supernatural?
Both.
Okay.
I think like, I think the universe is vast.
Yeah.
No.
That's kind of where I'm at too.
Where I'm like, how could I know?
I'm just always interested in hearing, because some people are like, oh, the things that really scare me are the realistic films like The Strangers or things that can really happen. And then other people are like, oh, yeah, I can watch those all day. I won't mess around with ghosts or demons or anything. And
it's really
interesting. Like seeing who feels that way and why, whether it's because they truly believe in that stuff or what. But
I've always said that with demons and ghosts, I can't rationalize when I'm in bed that they won't be in the house with me because I have bars on my windows. I'm like, a man's not getting in here, but a demon could.
Right. Sammy, don't say that on International Men's Day.
True.
Men can do anything.
Men can do anything.
Yeah, there's like no rules with demons or ghosts, you know? That's what's scary about it.
Yeah, I just think it's like, it's something, I mean, obviously, like, I don't want the other stuff either, but there's something like, you know, supernatural, it's like, it's when you're, it's at night and it's in your home and it's like under your sheets or in your shower or places where it's like should be safe and personal and private. And like, I don't know. It just like feels like such a violation that you can't do anything about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm excited though. Maybe I'll regret saying that. But in this moment, I'm excited.
Well, let's find out. Let's get into it.
Okay. Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay, look, we gotta be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay, and I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it. You know, crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice and Also, the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard-to-your-door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in-store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top-quality, award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes. Variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try. Head to nakedwines.com/too scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in too scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/too scary and use the code and password too scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/too scary, code and password too scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
You know that scene in horror movies where someone's alone at home, cooking or whatever, watching TV, and a killer is outside watching them through their huge, open, enormous, completely clear windows that for some reason have no blinds or coverings on them whatsoever? Don't let that be you. You need privacy. You need 3-Day Blinds. They are the leading manufacturer of custom window treatments in the US, and right now they are running a buy one, get one 50% off deal. Just set up an appointment and you'll get a free, no obligation quote the same day. And if you're not very handy, that's not a problem because the expert team at 3-Day Blinds handles all the heavy lifting. They design, measure, and install so you can sit back, relax, and leave it to the pros. I feel like sometimes when you hear the word blinds, you might be thinking of broken, loud, dirty dorm room blinds, but I was just looking at 3-Day Blinds' Instagram, and I can assure you that is not what we are talking about here. These are good-looking blinds, shades, shutters, etc. They have thousands of options for any budget or style, no matter your unique need, whether it's motorization, to home automation, room darkening, or child safety. They're going to have something that's going to look gorgeous in your home, and it's going to keep those prying eyes away so you don't have to live in your very own horror movie. Right now, you can get 3-Day Blinds buy one, get one 50% off deal on custom blinds, shades, shutters, and drapery. For a free, no charge, no obligation consultation, just head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. That's buy one, get one 50% off when you head to 3dayblinds.com/too scary. One last time, that's the number 3daybl.com/too scary. I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they're feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and 5-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a 5-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? It's such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family friendly, low carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready to eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/too scary and use code too scary for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/too scary for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code too scary so they know I sent you.
All right, you guys, I'm here again to talk to you about Skims, except this time, not about their underwear, this time about their t-shirts. Have you guys tried their t-shirts? Because I hadn't until recently, and holy shit, I have been on the quest to find the perfect t-shirt for my entire adult life. And little did I know, they were just hiding at skims.com. So I have their cotton jersey long sleeve t-shirt in kind of this like deep blue, gorgeous color. And it's a very form-fitting t-shirt that's extremely flattering. I've worn it over and over and over again since I got it. And it really holds up in the wash. You can just throw it in the washing machine, holds up, keeps its shape. The quality of the fabric is so good. I also have the boyfriend t-shirt. That one's so cozy, more relaxed. I just am obsessed with them. And now I want all of them. So I will slowly be amassing my collection of Skims t-shirts for the rest of my goddamn life. Anyway, so I really can't recommend them enough. Go to skims.com to shop them. And they're available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. Plus, you get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that Too Scary Didn't Watch sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select Too Scary Didn't Watch in the drop-down menu that follows.
So we're in Buenos Aires, and there is a woman named Clara doing dishes, and there's some noises coming from the drain in the sink, and there's the bubbles from the soap kind of bubbling up, and it almost looks like something within the drain is breathing. The bubble is moving like a breath with it's very creepy.
It's an audio jump scare here when she turns the faucet on.
Oh, yeah, that made me jump.
Yeah.
We're off to a great start. Her turning on the sink made me jump.
Oh, yeah. I jumped a lot in this movie. Great, a lot of great jump scares. Mm. It's very unsettling. And her husband comes home and she couldn't cook dinner. Just like us.
Relatable.
She said she hears voices in the kitchen.
Well, that's what I'm going to say next time.
Yeah. There you go. There's
I
your
couldn't
excuse.
Cook. There's voices in the kitchen.
Her husband's name is Juan. And he says, you know, maybe it's Walter, our neighbor. He's been fixing his house up lately. It's been kind of noisy. She says, I know what I heard. It was voices. He says, okay, what were they saying? She says, they said they were going to kill me. Title, Terrified.
Yeah. They have a weird, we see kind of a weird slice of a conversation in this, because he also mentions, hey, remember that dog we ran over today? It came back. Apparently it's fine. Like, it's alive. So that's good news. And it's like, whoa, like, wait, what? Like,
yeah.
Rewind a tiny bit. But,
and I don't know, even because I forgot about that line and you bring it up now. And even after seeing the rest of the movie, I don't know if it.
I mean, it's relevant because that's kind of what happens with.
Oh, with the
beings
kid.
In this movie. And, yeah. And weirdly in When Evil Lurks, too. It's a similar kind of thing.
Yeah. There are similarities. Yeah.
Yeah. Now we cut to it's the early morning, like 5 a.m. Clara is waking up to use the bathroom. Juan hears a banging on their wall and bangs back, thinking it's Walter. Like, keep it down. It's too early for you to be fixing stuff. I share walls with 3 neighbors, and there's like Ooh. Constant banging, like from the ceiling and one on the side and one on the front. And so it's basically constant, and I did not like this. So it was just like a 4D experience for me.
Do you also go outside in your underwear to yell through the intercom at your neighbor like Juan does here?
I sure do not. I just cower in fear and anger. So yeah, Juan goes out and he's buzzing the little call box to Walter, telling him like, shut up, stop banging. The banging is continuing, and he goes back into his house and he passes the bathroom where his wife is now taking a shower, it sounds like. And he's like, yeah, I told him to be quiet, but he's so annoying. And then he hears more banging and realizes it's coming from the bathroom. It's like the way the sound is, the direction it's coming from confuses him. He turns back and he calls out to her, Clara, are you making the banging noises? And he peeks into that bathroom around the corner, and we see bloody handprints and marks all over the walls. And he takes a further step in, and we see Clara's body just being flung side to side in the shower.
She's floating.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she's floating. And
it's great.
It almost looks like an invisible being maybe has her by the neck, and it's just hitting her back and forth across the shower.
And this
Holy shit, this has got
to be a practical body, because this thing looks like a crash test dummy full of strawberry jelly, and it is just slammed over and over into this bathroom tile wall, and just like, oh, it's gross.
Yeah. And from having seen two of his movies, Damien Rugna does not cut away from stuff.
No.
Like, you're going to see everything.
You are watching those impacts over and over.
He is not about the, I'm going to let you imagine it. No, he's showing you everything, and he does it so well is what makes him so impressive. Because often it can feel a little, almost like a weird letdown if you actually see what's happening.
Uh-huh,
if it's not done just right, it's almost scarier to not see. But no,
And I think it's because of the practical effects.
Yes, I think it's so much of it's practical.
It looks like such a lifeless body being slammed against the wall. And so he, like, after being frozen for a minute, tries to stop her and, like, grabs her and tries to bring her down.
But her head is still moving.
And eventually he's, like, holding his wife's dead body, and her blood is everywhere. And we're like, dude, you're going to jail.
Dude, you're going to jail.
Like, this does not look good, my man. Yeah.
He was holding her neck, trying to get her to stop.
Yeah.
Like, dude, no one's going to believe that you did not murder your wife, or clearly you were grabbing her neck. And it's like, no, you don't understand. A demon was slamming her head against the wall, and I was just trying to make it stop. Classic. Oh,
brutal. Yeah, so we cut to him being interrogated by three people who we at first think are maybe police officers, but then they say something like, we know that you didn't kill your wife, and we need to find certain proof or whatever, but like, we've had other occurrences basically that we've been investigating, and tell us everything you can remember from the past 2 weeks in your neighborhood if anything weird has happened.
Yeah, they're kind of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Demon busters.
Demon busters.
Is it a demon? Are they ghosts? Are they demons?
That's the thing. I'm a lot less clear on what the supernatural stuff is in this movie versus like When Evil Lurks. You get a pretty solid picture of like, okay, this is what we're dealing with. This feels a bit
ambiguous.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
I kind of wonder if, I can't tell if these maybe take place in the same kind of universe, or if it's just a style thing.
I kind of had that feeling too. Yeah.
Specifically because of there's some like kind of ghost either detection or hunting tools that the one woman uses that look very similar to something in When Evil Lurks. Yeah.
I noticed that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Juan says he's thinking back to strange things that have been occurring, and he does say, well, there was an accident outside of my house, and my neighbor Walter was very upset. He was remodeling his house at strange hours of the day. And then now we're flashing back to Walter in the past, and he's looking exhausted and stressed. He's at work, and he's calling a specialist for help, Dr. Albrecht, and he's trying to get an appointment with her. The receptionist is saying like, she can't see you. And he's certain she's the only one who's going to be able to help him. He's spoken to other specialists, and they've all given him this number, but Dr. Albrecht is not taking his call. So he goes home.
He goes to bed in his jeans.
absolutely insane. I'm sorry. Did anything, any weird activity in the last 2 weeks? Yes, sleeping in jeans. Yeah,
sleeping in my outside clothes, which are jeans, in my twin bed. My which, twin you know
what? The twin bed threw me.
I know. Lots of small beds in this movie. But I do. I will admit that in high school, I would just go to sleep in my jeans and outside clothes, man. I would just pass out. I also, though, slept on a mattress on the floor in the basement. So that was kind of weird.
Sure.
That does feel like a very teen boy thing, though. Yeah, you're right? Like, yeah, but you're barely keeping it together.
Exactly. And Walter is not a teen boy. He's a grown ass man. So he should maybe know a little better. But
and what the actor who plays Walter, I believe, is one of the brothers in When Evil Lurks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
Yes, he's Jaime.
Yeah, he is. I feel like he is hot. He looks like Scoot McNairy to me.
Oh, you've told me about this actor.
Strong eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I like him.
Get into those bed jeans.
Bed jeans.
he looks like he's not doing well. He seems very scared in his home. He's in his bed, in his twin bed with his jeans on, and he's peeking under the bed. He's like looking, lifting the blankets up to look under. Nothing seems like it's there. He keeps the blanket up as he gets up to go brush his teeth. And we see from the POV of under the bed, something pulls the blanket back down.
Yeah, there's a great shot of him in bed. He leans over and looks under the bed and there's nothing. And then the camera starts to tilt back up with him as he's coming back up to the bed.
Something
under the bed just kind of rolls into the light just as the camera's like moving past. It's wonderful.
Very creepy.
It's classic though. Like he doesn't realize he's kind of technically sharing a bed with someone else, but they are like any couple in that they fight over who gets more of the blanket.
Yes. True. Yes. There is a little push and pull happening here. Specifically, his bed is being pushed around in the night. He comes back after brushing his teeth and his bed seems like it's moved a little bit and he moves it back and then he's in it and it's moving on its own. And he's like, something's definitely here with me. He hides under the blankets. We see a shadow of a hand reaching for him. It's very scary. And we cut away. We see him waking up the next morning, hearing some banging. All of his furniture has moved around in the night. It's like basically all been pushed to the center of the room, like around his bed.
Maybe they just wanted to paint his walls.
It really is like one of those like Reddit threads about a terrible roommate. You know, like my roommate keeps rearranging all the furniture in the middle of the night.
I've asked him to stop 100 times. He won't stop.
He's always walking around naked.
And we see him going through this routine again of calling Dr. Albrecht, like speaking to the receptionist, begging again, please, please, please. I've seen something. And she says something like, Dr. Albrecht can't get involved without proof. And he's like, how am I supposed to get proof? And so he goes and he buys a camcorder and he's going to videotape himself sleeping.
Classic.
Yeah.
We love it. That's
Paranormal Activity.
That's always
shot
an exciting horror movie trope is I'm going to film myself while I'm sleeping and see what scary stuff happens.
So scary. Gets me every fucking time.
So scary. Oh my God.
It's so tragic that he can't get a hold of this, like, doctor, I don't know what else to call her. She's a ghost doctor.
Yeah.
But it kind of, again, I think Damien Rugna is really interested in like bureaucracy and the frustration of trying to get help from the one person or entity that you know can help you and getting stuck in like a phone tree or, customer service that sucks or just government that doesn't care. Like,
totally.
And obviously, like, she's not a fraud or a disbeliever because she's one of the doctors who...
She shows up. Like,
yeah. She's one of the three who visited Juan in
jail. But it's too late for Walter.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe she's visiting Juan because it was like, oh, I didn't respond in time to help Walter. But yeah, because he sets it up to record him sleeping. And I think he goes to sleep and then wakes up and it's on the ground.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, something knocked over this camera. Let me see maybe if there's some evidence of it. And he starts reviewing the footage. And it's a tall, naked guy like standing next to his bed looking at him sleeping, which is always what you want to see when you record yourself like, sleeping.
Dick is eye level.
Yeah, he's basically getting teabagged by a demon. And then this thing like turns around and walks into his wardrobe. And that's what knocks the camera over. So he's like, he just looks up and is looking at his wardrobe and it's closed doors.
And he,
oh god,
he goes to get a gun, and he is slowly approaching the wardrobe, opens it, it's empty. He moves all the clothes around, looks if anything's hiding in the back. It's empty. So he goes back to the camera and he's looking at it and he's reviewing the footage some more. He sees, he like rewinds and goes back to see the freaky guy crawling out from underneath the bed to watch him. Oh, it's really gross. And as he's watching this, we see now the wardrobe doors opening again. That guy coming out, and he notices it through the reflection of on the gun, I think. He like sees the movement behind him, but it's too late, and the creature thing, it's like human-ish, but
it's like Lurch. It's like a naked Lurch.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it reaches the gun before him, and we cut away, and we don't see what happens there, but it doesn't seem good.
No.
Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm.
Next is when it's the little kid outside, right?
And yeah.
Some little kid's playing soccer, as you do, and kicks the ball into Walter's yard and goes to get the ball and also drink from the hose, because hose water is the best tasting water. Oh, I
think this is the last time we see Walter, because I think Walter's the one who's like, hey, it get is, out yeah. of my yard.
You don't really see him. You like see him through the cracks of his blinds, because he's like, hey, quit drinking my good hose water, kid. That's mine. get out of here. And the kid, like, he's like, all right, I'm sorry. And he backs up into the street.
And it's still.
And it's that clip from the trailer. That kid just gets mowed down by a bus, man. He gets final destination right there.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Game over for that little kid. And something I thought was funny is the bus driver like flees the scene. Did you
bus driver gets out of the bus and just runs. I think he's still running.
I didn't notice the bus driver running.
Yeah, he got out and started heading for Brazil, I guess. He's out of there.
But the rest of the, it's a small little neighborhood. The rest of the residents are coming out of their homes and seeing, the dead boy laying in the street, and, Juan and, what's her name?
Clara?
I forgot. Clara.
Oh, yeah, Clara. Yeah. They instantly know whose kid it is. So they start yelling for the mom.
Right across the street, neighbors.
Oh God.
Alicia. Is that the mom?
Yep. So yeah, then we see the mother in mourning, probably. I think after the funeral, everyone's wearing black. She looks completely devastated and kind of catatonic, almost like she's being led to her home. And we see Juan and Clara comforting her. Then we cut to a character named Yano. He gets a phone call in the middle of the night from someone named Funes. And we recognize Yano as one of the three people that was interviewing Juan in the earlier scene. Mm. So this is, you know, still before that in time. But he wakes up to this phone call and Funes says, you need to see this. Something is happening that I feel like I can't explain, type of thing. And like I know you're the kind of person that would maybe be able to explain what's happening.
Yeah, because when he gets there, he's like, nothing scares you, right? And I was like, yeah, I guess not. I was like, let's see. What do you got?
Yeah, Funes is like a local sheriff, right? Like he's a cop.
Captain, I think was his rank. Captain Funes. Okay. And he's like 2 weeks from retirement.
Classic.
He just wants to get out of there.
He's young to people. He says he has like medical issues, right?
I think
he's
so.
He's a younger guy, but he's retiring.
But
soon.
He's at least doing this 15 years because Hano is like, I've been working with Funes for 15 years. And Funes is a character who he always has his gun out. Like whenever anything supernatural happens in the movie, he pulls out his gun.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to shoot this ghost.
Yeah.
We'll see how that works out for him. they arrive at Alicia's house and he kind of reveals that they have some sort of romantic history. He's cared about her in the past and is worried about her and you know, we're going to see what's happening here because something is not right, and leads Yano to the dining room of this home and reminds him beforehand, like, you know, her son died 5 days ago or something. And we had the funeral service. We buried him. Turn around the corner. He's sitting at the dining room table.
Yeah. And not like he does not look like, oh, he came back to life and he's normal. No, no, no. This is like...
He's a little dirt boy.
It's disgusting. Like, honestly, the imagery of this little boy... Like,
yeah.
there are jump scares that got me good in this. But in terms of, like, imagery and things that I'm still thinking about, it's this little boy and the way that he looks and the way that they frame him and the way he's sitting that honestly is so scary
it's
to me.
It's so scary.
It's hard to keep something scary when you have the camera staying on it. Most scares happen from a sudden movement or sound or like a quick look and then it cuts away. But the camera holds on this kid and it's scary the whole way through.
And he's like, I mean, his skin is like dark gray.
It's just covered in dirt.
And he's just sitting at the dining room table just kind of like posed. Like he's not moving. Ooh, and that's what's creepy.
Yeah, just completely still.
I think it could have been, they could have, you know, done like zombie kid. Sure, that's spooky. But what's freaky to me is how he just sits there and we don't see him move ever. And they're like, but he might still be alive or not.
They're like, some of the other cops saw him moving, but he's not moving now. And Hano takes like a spoon and puts it below the kid's nose to see if there's like
fogs up the spoon
with breath and it doesn't.
Breathing.
And so they're like, all right, I guess it's not moving. I don't know. And they turn around and start to leave. And then they hear a noise and they turn around and the glass of milk that was next to the kid is spilled over. Like he knocked it over, but he's still not moving.
He has like milk and cookies in front of him, which is also very
creepy.
Yeah, milk
and cookies just in case.
Yeah, this kid's really scary.
Yeah, this kid's nasty.
It's very scary. And Hano's like looking at his fingernails and you see that it looks as if he has dug himself out of a grave. Like his fingers are fucked up. And but he's completely still, like as if he is a corpse, but there's muddy footprints and handprints like leading to where he is.
And also his mom, when you first see her, you're like, why is she kind of she's like dirty? Like she's got like smudges on her face and arms.
Oh, because she was like hugging
him. Yeah, she would have been like hugging him and kissing him.
But they're not sure if she went and dug him up.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
That's, like, that's the most reasonable explanation.
So that's what they think. Yeah. This is just a literal corpse.
Yeah. Yes. And that
because I was like, when they were like, oh, let's see if he's breathing. No, he's not. Okay, fine. I'm like, what does that answer for us?
Maybe the mom, the bereaved mom.
Yeah, and they think the other cops are maybe just imagining stuff. Or
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So they just leave this kid sitting there for a while.
Yeah.
Because that other kid, is this when the other kid like...
The neighbor kid?
Not yet. First, Hano goes outside. He's like something... He thinks something is up here. He's like... He's not fully writing it off as just the mom, but that is a possibility. But he thinks, you know, maybe there is something more going on here.
He has experienced...
Yes.
Corpses coming back to life in his line of work.
Yeah, we are learning that he is some sort of paranormal investigator. And he steps outside for some fresh air or something and sees a woman across the street taking photos. And we find out this is Dr. Albrecht, who Walter was calling. And I guess, he has sent her the footage. But it's too late. We don't really know. He seems like he's not there anymore.
Because she's like at his house taking pictures, right?
Yes.
But hasn't been let inside.
But it's right across the street from Alicia's house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Hano's like, oh, you think this is weird? Let me show you this. And takes her over to Alicia's house. And she notes that the on the outside of the house, going up the wall and even on the ceiling of like the porch cover, are footprints and handprints from the kid.
Yeah.
So I don't know what this kid was doing, climbing up a wall or something, because that doesn't really get too explored, but he's a little creepy crawler.
I feel like it's so much more effective, though, to just show him in his still state. Like, can you imagine if we had seen him crawling up around there? It would have been cheesy and dumb.
Yeah, for sure. Him just standing there, sitting there still. And that's when this other kid is the right.
Yeah.
When this other kid, like a neighbor kid, kicks a ball over there, or like his toys are in that backyard. So he goes
and
there.
It sounds like these two kids were like best friends.
I think there's a shot of the other kid after the first one, after he gets hit by a bus. I think we see this other kid like traumatized and having witnessed it. But he goes into this backyard to like collect his toys that are there. And he looks into the window and sees his friend's corpse sitting at the table, and obviously that's not going to register as a dead body to him. He's a kid, so he's like knocking on the window, and then this dead little kid corpse slowly turns and looks at his friend outside the window. His pretty creepy.
Yeah. And he gets spooked and like drops some stuff he was carrying.
His backpack
like
and everything folder, and just runs away. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. He screams and runs off, and Hanno and Dr. Albrecht hear that. They were like in the other room, and they come in and see like someone has been in here. The boy has moved. There's now more footprints. And so they're like, we got to move the body. And they put him in a big freezer in the backyard.
Yeah. When they just stick a potted plant on top.
Just in case.
That'll be heavy enough. Even though they think, or they know, that this kid dug himself out of his own grave. I don't know why they think putting just kind of a heavy-ish
one potted plant
on top.
Yeah, it's like a Legend of Zelda, like, pot that you up and put on top there.
Hanno tells Funes to bury the kid back in the cemetery. Take him back to the cemetery and bury him.
In concrete.
With some concrete.
With concrete this time. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Turn him into a street.
Get him in there good.
Yeah.
And now we cut back to Juan being interviewed by the three people after his wife dies. And basically now we're all up to speed at the same point. So this is like them saying, we know things have been happening in this neighborhood. Uh-huh. And we need your permission to investigate your house. And so if you can sign this paperwork, the three of us, it's Hanno, Albrecht, and another guy, Rosentalk.
Yeah.
And they are paranormal investigators, and they want to go stay in these houses where the incidents have occurred and investigate. And so he signs it. Sure. There's telling him, you know, we can find proof, hopefully, that you didn't murder your wife. So I think he's in prison for murdering his wife.
Yep.
Yeah. That's where you'd go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
After this, the movie, it takes kind of an insidious turn where it's like paranormal investigators, like really
there's
testing.
There's even like a Lin Shaye kind of character.
Yeah.
Yes.
Albrecht. So I didn't expect that. I kind of thought that we were going to keep exploring this neighborhood with different cases of the hauntings and stuff like that and visiting these different characters. And I may have wanted that more because I didn't expect it to become this like investigation thing.
I do think this is when the movie slows down a bit for me. Like I was feeling this kind of last third or whatever, like half
first third.
Yeah. Like it just, I don't know. I think it's a lot of we're waiting around for scary stuff to happen.
Yeah. I kind of like it more when it's, people in the dark who this stuff is happening to, as opposed to these three investigators who like know something's up and are trying to like scientifically find out how to do it. And you know, I bet if I watched it again, knowing that that's where it goes, that I would maybe enjoy it more or like, I'd be expecting it more. But since I wasn't, I was like, oh, this is, we're still doing this, you know, like an hour in.
It's hard when you start with a woman being like flung around her shower. It's like those are some high stakes to start off with.
For sure.
And there's no like protagonist in this movie, which is interesting. So
Like Juan, we kind of like leave behind in the jail, and Walter disappears. So it's like, oh, now we're watching these people. Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess so. I thought they were just going to be kind of off to the side.
Yeah. So it is unconventional. They're now going to stay in these three homes.
The three homes being Walter's, Juan's, and Alicia's, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're basically taking one each. Funes is with Rosentalk, and I don't know who's in whose house. Doesn't really matter too much. I think Hanno is in Alicia's.
Yes, I think you're right.
Oh yeah, because he's watching across the street through the Yeah, I know they're across the street. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know how much it.
It doesn't really matter
totally
too
matters.
Much. But yeah, they're just split up in these houses.
The three scenes of the crime.
Yes.
So
the,
to speak.
The like shower, floating body, the creepy kid, and the naked guy under the bed are the three different houses.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We see in the house that Rosentalk and Funes are in, there's something in the kitchen where all the silverware looks like it's magnetically being drawn up. It's like dangling from below a cabinet.
Dude, I wish that I could store my silverware this way because it's just like hanging.
Just have it
there. So dude, an earthquake. Are you kidding me? That would
If the magnet's strong enough, then all you got to do is like, oh, I need a fork, pluck, and just pluck it off there. I think
I feel like those exist. But, well, they do for knives at least. You know, I feel like
The little knife bars.
We have some of those.
Yeah.
But you're right. I feel like there is something a little scary about that also.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this could happen.
But a spoon could be okay.
Yeah.
Spoons can be good. Not giant knives, which a giant knife goes right through Rosenthal.
Yeah, he's like, hey, check this out, man. And then the knife goes through his hand into the bottom of the cupboard that's above it.
Ooh.
And then he's like, yo, do you hear that sucking noise? Something's sucking my blood. And sure enough, the blood from his hand is going up into the cupboard.
Yeah, there's something in there.
And you just hear the slurping. And Rosenthal is seeming very chill about this for having just been stabbed in the hand and something's drinking
his
blood.
There's maybe a covered gremlin in here. I don't know what he thinks is going on, but he's really excited.
He's excited by it. And he's saying to Funes, I think this might be the nest, or he's maybe calling Dr. Albrecht. And to Funes
takes out a gun.
Funes is like, well, that sounds really bad. And I don't know why you're so stoked on this. They tend to his hand and wrap it up and realize through this that whatever these things are like blood. And so he tells Funes to go clean up the blood from him being stabbed in the hand. There's blood splatter around the kitchen. And so Funes goes in to mop some of that up. And
they never see what was in the cupboard. No. He opens the drawer and it's nothing's there. I don't know if it just ran away or what, but
yeah,
because I was excited to see what was going on, but they just,
We don't get to see. Funes is freaking out. He says, I'm terrified. Name of the movie.
Yep. He says it.
I know. We both pointed. We're like, he said the movie.
He calls Hanno and he's saying I got to get out of here. This isn't my, I can't do this. I have my health condition.
Above my pay grade.
Above my pay grade. Mm-hmm. Hanno is looking across the street into the window of Walter's place that they're in and is saying well, where are you? Are you in the kitchen? Is that, there's a guy standing right by the window, but that's not you, is it?
It's so great. You can describe it.
It's is it the naked guy? Yes. It's a big old pale.
He's looking at, so he sees this window across the street and he's looking through one window pane and he's there. But then when he moves his head, he disappears. It's like one of those lenticular pictures, you know, where it shifts. Mm-hmm.
So he keeps shifting side to side and he's seeing, as he shifts, the being in the window across, in the house across the street, appear, disappear. He's like, this is really weird. And then it's disappeared and he moves and then it's right in front of him. And I had my hand on your leg and I grabbed it so hard. I was
James grabbing my leg scared me more than the movie.
Yeah, that was the biggest scare for me. It was just a well-constructed scare.
Even me too. I flew out of my seat.
There's another scare coming up that I liked even more.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So we cut away to now back to Rosenthal has discovered something that he wants to show Funes, who's still trying to get out of there, but for some reason is,
I know, he's I want to get out of here,
but also I guess I'll see
what you have to say.
I think he just feels like a giant wimp because they're like, you don't have to be here if you don't want. I think he just is too macho about it.
I mean,
and also he has an emotional attachment to Alicia.
True.
So.
That's true. Yeah.
So Rosenthal lifts up. This is now Walter's bed that we know the naked man had been sleeping under. And he lifts up the blanket on the side of the bed, says, nothing under there, right? And Funes says, yeah, what do you mean? And he's like, it's about perspective. It's not empty. And he moves to the foot of the bed and lifts up the blanket there. And we see some nasty little feet crawling ew! Away to try to hide back further under
the
bed.
Yeah, it's like the Grinch tiptoeing across the floor. It's
ew!
Yeah, it's very dirty feet.
And there's very light explanation of what is happening. Rosenthal says, darkness, light, two realities sharing the same space and time. It's all about your perspective. Or no, it depends on the point of view. So that's kind
he's
of all
thrilled
we,
about this.
Yeah.
He's so happy about it.
Yeah, that's about as much as they explain. I think Albrecht explains to like reality's kind of like a like an orange where like each slice is like a different kind of dimension. So we're just getting some overlapping dimensions, I think.
Yep.
And
yep.
But we don't really get any solid answers for what's going on.
Which is probably for the best. Yeah. I feel like sometimes that ruins it.
Yeah, and doesn't he look under the bed? And so we have the feet near us and the legs going into the distance. And then from over there, you see the head.
Yeah, so he's in like impossible positions.
And then he like charges out from even closer.
Yeah, it's very hard to describe because it's all very like...
It's like M.C. Escher made a person stuffed him under the bed.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah, and so Funes freaks out, runs out of there. It seems like he's maybe having a heart attack. We're getting like the sound design of his heart beating way too fast. He's breathing really heavily. It's not looking good. And he's running to the house where Hanno is. And he goes in there. And Hanno is nowhere to be seen. Mm-hmm. He's calling out for him, looking around. And we hear something in a cabinet.
Is this around when we finally realize that Funes is deaf in least one ear? Because he takes out his hearing aid. I don't know why he takes it out. I was a bit confused here as to why he decides to remove it at this moment.
He might have fallen. Kind of it might have fallen off.
Oh, okay.
But I can't remember
kind of
for sure.
Closer to this cabinet. And then he sees, the cabinet's kind of like moving, like someone's knocking on the inside. And he just starts ripping it apart and he kind of sees like Hanno's head. What is he? He's yelling at him to get him out of there.
Yeah,
right?
He's like, get me out of here. He says there's glass splinters in my eyes.
Yeah.
And you see his eyes are bleeding.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's real gross.
But he had Funes had opened the front of the cabinet first and it was empty and had just like heard more noises and so had to rip off the side paneling. So we're seeing again this like it's not visible from one way, but it is from the other way with kind of no real reason as to why that is. But it is creepy.
He goes to tell Albrecht about what he saw and she's like, yeah, but you can't really trust what you see here because like I'm looking into this crack in the wall and I'm seeing Walter over there. Yeah. And she, there's like a crack in the wall and she's like, Walter, what are you doing in there? That guy who was calling her, he's like, and he's distant inside the wall. I forget if he's like what positioning he's in, but it doesn't look like he's going to be coming out. And she's just like, she's like, she like props up a chair and is like sitting there just staring at this crack in the wall.
Way too casually in front of this huge crack in the wall with like entities in it.
Yeah. And then as she's talking to Funes, this very long arm reaches out of that crack in the wall with really long fingers and it grabs her head and just like just
breaks her neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another jump
she's
scare.
She's like, it's just so funny because she's like, what you see tonight probably isn't real. And then her head gets cracked open by it.
Immediately gets her neck cracked. And then, I think Funes is kind of like crawling away from this thing, right? This is when like there's a lot happening at once.
Yeah, he's crawling away. Oh, there's like a great shot where when he's crawling away, where we see the like long skinny naked guy presumably crawling out of the wall, or maybe Walter, I don't know, but one of the little entities crawling out of the hole in the wall where Dr. Albrecht was, and the camera pans around and he's again like possibly having a heart attack. It's we hear the sound design, I think, is factoring in his hearing aid and falling out and him also having a heart attack. So it just is like really intense. And as the camera pans to the side of him, the thing disappears and you can't like see it from that angle. And then the camera pans back up and you see it just like crawling closer and closer to him.
Oh God, that's so scary.
Is this when he makes out of the house and drives away?
Well, real fast. First, what happened to Rosenthal? Because Hanno was in the cabinet and Albrecht got her neck broken. What happened to Rosenthal?
There's like a very brief shot of Rosentalk in Walter's room still and the cabinet opening behind him.
Yes, you're right.
But we don't see what happens.
So it's implied that like the big, tall, naked guy got him.
Yeah.
Because Funes goes outside and doesn't he see Alicia there with a car? And she's like, he's like, I gotta get out of here. And she just walks to her car and is like, get in.
Yeah.
And he starts to get in.
This is my favorite scare in this whole movie is when he's in the car and we're seeing out the window.
Oh, wait, no. He doesn't get in this car. Because remember,
right.
He sees in the back seat of her car.
It's the kid.
His little dirt corpse boy.
You're right. Okay, this is a different
thing. He's like, I'm not going to carpool with that. I'm not getting in this thing. And Elise's like, all right.
She's yelling at him. She's like, you poured concrete on my son. Why would you do that? How would you do this? You made everyone think I was crazy. And she clearly this time did go and dig up her son and is now, driving around with him.
You stay away from me and my son. Never
talk to me or my weird corpse son ever again.
Oh my God.
But then, so then Funes gets into, I guess, probably his car. And your favorite scare.
And this is the scare that I fucking love. So he's in his car and we're seeing out of his window and we're seeing kind of a house in the background. And we see like a figure running at the car. And it's hard to tell what it is at first, but it's Albrecht. And she's, I don't know how to describe it. She is literally, let me just demonstrate.
This podcast. Yes.
This is all for me.
She's literally like.
That's her head, but her body is facing forward, right?
Yeah, it's twisted back bend.
She's over kind of backwards and is running at the car, and it's so
just
creepy.
Like runs into the window. It reminded me of that scare and smile the trailer spoiled. But it's a great scare because unlike Smile, where it's like a jump scare, here you see it from the background.
And it's still really scary. Yeah, I love it. And so obviously he gets out of there.
She's screaming at him, you still have time. We're being tortured. Horrifying.
Yeah. So then that's when he gets gasoline, right? He comes back. Doesn't he get like a bunch of gasoline?
He's like, I'm just going to burn this shit down.
Just burn it down. Yep. Yeah. Just,
hey, I mean, why not try?
Yeah.
And he burns it down and it kind of cuts away. And we go back to Juan now in presumably present day with new police officers there.
Right. Like, how is the investigation going? Did you guys prove I didn't kill my wife? Meanwhile, his entire block is burnt down. And
things are bad.
Yeah. The three people that you were there with, one of them is like a gray corpse with glass sticking out of his eyes. And the other lady's bent in half back. Well, like, it's not good, dude. Sorry.
You're
in jail forever.
Sorry,
probably.
Juan. He does say, shows him a picture of Funes. And he's like, do you recognize this person? He is the person we suspect burnt down the block and we can't find him. So maybe he's the guy to blame. Maybe he murdered your wife. He's a fugitive. Obviously we know that's not true, but that's what all they have to go on is this guy who burnt the block down that's now missing, I guess. And as they're telling this to him, Juan is looking over their shoulders at someone or something that we're not seeing, and they notice this and kind of get confused. And Juan says, did you bring him? And points to a spot.
Is that guy with you?
Spot in the corner. We all look, there's nothing there. And Juan looks back down at the photographs on the table of, the three people he was talking to earlier that they brought with, and he points to Rosentalk and he says, that's him. His face is burned, but that's him. The furniture, a chair moves in that corner of the room, like slides, slides to the side, and they're all looking. And Juan says, he came with you. He came in with you. And they turn and look, and the chair flies at the screen, and that's the end of the movie.
Rosentalk like yeets a chair at the camera, Malignant style.
Yeah,
it's like have some credits.
Yeah. Back out.
Ooh. Yeah. So not
damn
a lot of answers there. I don't know if we mentioned there is like some theory that the water is part has something to do with
they mentioned
who gets infected
water.
Because the kid drank the water. We saw Walter brushing his teeth and the woman in the shower. Towards the end of the movie, you see they're all drinking from bottled water. They like switch to bottled water.
Interesting. Mm.
But it's not super explicitly laid out. I think there's just one moment where Albrecht is like, water is, I don't know, an easy thing to travel. It helps travel to a different dimension or something. It's just.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He does say something like that. Yeah.
Just like, okay, if you say so.
Oh, I feel like particularly when you mentioned like Insidious, I feel like the presence of experts makes you think, well, they'll get the upper hand at some point, right? Like they'll get fucked around with some there'll be some casualties maybe, but like eventually they'll come out of this.
Right. Or like Poltergeist or something.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like Conjuring or like they, you know, and so then to have it be like, nope, they just get tortured forever in another dimension. It's just like, that's so fucking scary.
Yeah. And that's, again, like Damien Rugna, that's such like a When Evil Lurks deals with the same thing. You know, even when it's like, okay, finally we have some experts here who are doing something and they're gonna save the day. No, it's still, you know, it's just failure on all parts. I think he is very scared by the idea that you can't truly depend on any system to help you, whether it's like a private entity or a public, like it's the failure of people and groups to.
It's probably a big fan of The Wire.
It's like the breakdown of the system kind of.
And wow, I know you guys mentioned in your When Evil Lurks episode that he's like not a religious person, and I feel like so often in these kind of possession-y movies the answer is like in Conjuring and I think Insidious also, it's like God, all you have to do is, you know, believe in God.
The Warrens are religious
and
people.
Damien Rugna is not gonna go that route.
His kind of ghosts and creatures feel very weirdly scientifically based, even though it's not real science. The fact that you can measure them with equipment that is kind of fantastical looking. It's almost like steampunk looking equipment to measure these ghosts. And
that's fun.
The fact that they theorize they maybe travel through water. Like it's like there is an explanation for everything. We just don't, you know,
it's like a new science. Like we're the people learning it right now. So it feels like believable that it's like, we don't have all the facts yet, but this is real.
But here's the evidence we've collected so far.
Well, and like, I feel like, again, knowing nothing about this and people, I'm just going to spout a bunch of bullshit about dimensions and mold, but it's like, it does feel like, okay, well, that's maybe possible, right? Like there are, we are in multiple dimensions and things can like brush up against each other. And I feel like I've heard that as an explanation for paranormal activity before. And like to have that be happening in real time and also like the chaos of that for them to be like, that's what it is, doesn't mean it helps us at all. Yeah. Like, look, they're not really real, but they actually could come out and snap my neck and then I'm dead and I'm there. It's like, that's so scary.
Yeah, it's kind of like the horror movie version of, do you know Flatland, the kind of Carl Sagan thought experiment, or at least the way that he explains dimensions. It's very it's a great clip from Cosmos, but basically he's like, the reason we as people, we can't even fathom there being like a fourth dimension, right? Because we exist in the third dimension.
Right.
If you, let's say there's a place called Flatland where everything is two dimensions and a three-dimensional object suddenly shows up, like to these two-dimensional beings, they would have no way to comprehend like what that is. And it would pass through Flatland one little plane at a time and it would just be this weird. And it kind of reminds me of only seeing these ghosts or things at a certain angle, you know, it's these weird slices of like, what am I even looking at, you know, and not being able to fathom that.
I also was wondering if, because there's, this might not be right, but there the moment where Funes is having a heart attack, it seems, and there's a creature like right next to him and it leaves him. It doesn't like go for him, because we do see that some of the entities, whatever they are, go into the bodies of people. And I don't know if they were just like, oh, his body is breaking down right now, he's having a heart attack, so we'll just leave him. It's like of no use to us. I don't know. Just like it didn't make that's the only reason I could think of why it like left him alone right then. Cause he.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, why leave him alone, but not a kid that just got flattened by a bus?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was a little surprised that he made it out of that one. It wasn't looking good.
Yeah. I haven't had time to read like Reddit theories on this movie yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it is a fun one for that.
I mean, even talking about it made me like it more.
It did. It did, make it make a little bit more sense to kind of.
Yeah, to be like, oh, yeah, just to reframe things. Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I feel like, like we mentioned about the dog in the beginning, I feel like that must be a similar thing, that they thought they killed a dog and the dog came back to life, probably same as the kid.
Same.
But yeah, it's like fun that little detail is not really ever explained. There's a lot of things that are just dropped in and just add to like the atmosphere rather than feel like they're spelling things out for you. I really like, I felt like with When Evil Lurks, I felt like his world building reminded me of John Wick, where it's like, you're just kind of dropped into the world and everyone knows that there's the Continental.
Yes, yeah, everyone knows the rules already.
And I'm not going to explain the rules to you, but we all know them.
Yeah. That is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I'm a fan. I'm excited to see what he does next. I also saw that I couldn't figure out if this is actually happening, but there are articles about an English language remake of Terrified, which you hate to see.
Was it by Guillermo del Toro?
Yeah, he's producing it, and it's also directed by Damian Rugna. So that's
interesting.
More
that's
promising.
Interesting. How often does that happen? Because I think of
it's
funny,
just
games.
Funny Games is the only one I can think of.
I can't think of any other instances where the same person has remade their film in two different languages. That's a small club.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's happening or not. There hasn't been recent news on it. He's also said that he would like to do a sequel that picks up right where this one leaves off. I think he said he's even written a script for it. But so he'll have something coming. He's going to be doing something.
When Evil Lurks, the word of mouth of that thing is so
I think he's going to be sitting in a pretty good position at the end of this year. Yeah. Gotten a lot of attention.
Chelsea, James, thank you so much. You guys, this was amazing. I really enjoyed this movie. Thank you for picking it.
I'm so glad we got to watch it finally. Yes. I love like Molly, don't be like that. Molly's possessed. Sorry. There's so many movies on our list of like, God, we really need to watch that. So when an opportunity arises to like force us to watch it, I love taking it and being like, yes, we will pick this one.
Hell yeah. Well, could you tell our listeners where they can find you and about Dead Meat and anything else you want to plug?
Yeah. Dead Meat is the number one horror movie channel on YouTube. We've been doing it for 6.5 years now. And the flagship show on it is The Kill Count, which evolved from just counting the kills in movies to pretty much being mini documentaries about them, where we go into the behind the scenes, how it was made, cultural context, just all sorts of things, all while keeping lots of jokes in there to have it fun and funny. And then alongside The Kill Count is the Dead Meat Podcast, which is Chelsea's show.
Yeah, Dead Meat Podcast. We have, you know, longer form reviews, which James and I are doing a bit more analysis than there would be room for on The Kill Count. We'll play we play games, like lots of trivia, and just we keep it goofy on the podcast.
Horror Survivor's a big hit on the podcast, where we play Survivor with 18 horror characters and just basically RPG.
It's like a tabletop RPG where we play through a season of Survivor and determine which horror character is
fun. We don't know who's going to win when we start, but we come to
it. It's always surprising.
So yeah, lots of fun stuff and just other random things on the channel. Lots of interviews. We also have we do annual horror awards, which When Evil Lurks will be nominated for best original picture, probably.
Hell yeah. I think, yeah.
So we'll have our third annual horror awards in probably, I think, March, just right around Oscar time. And then we also do a horror Royal Rumble where we run a computer simulated on WWE game 30 character Royal Rumble with characters that Chelsea creates of horror characters. And then we commentate live watching it for the first time as characters are eliminated.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
We've gotten WWE wrestlers to do some.
They send in videos being like, I'm rooting for the Wolfman to win. And just it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
That's one of amazing.
The most fun things on the channel. So lots to offer for horror fans.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Great. And where can people find you on like Instagram socials and stuff?
Dead Meat James is the Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. The Twitter is me. The other two are a 22-year-old we pay to handle those because I'm not into TikTok. Fair. Yep.
We tried to start TikTok and it didn't go well.
Yeah, no.
It's not for us. It's not for us.
Yeah.
What can you do?
I'm at Carebeck, C-A-R-E-V-E-C-C on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can also find Chelsea's voice in games. Fire Emblem Heroes. She's a voice actor.
I did just get added to Fire Emblem Heroes, which is very exciting for someone who loves Fire Emblem like I do.
Yes.
Anyway.
I'm so proud
That's
of her.
Amazing. Nice. You got a great voice.
Thank you.
This is a real treat. I sufficiently spooked, which I love. I love.
That could be the name of another podcast. Yeah. Sufficiently spooked.
Sufficiently spooked. That is nice.
That's a good
but
one.
But Emily, you don't feel like terrible, right?
I don't feel terrible. No, I don't feel terrible.
Do you feel terrified?
I feel terrified.
Is there a movie that's been described to you that has made you just feel terrible?
Yes.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Can you think of one off the top of your head?
Yeah. Speak No Evil.
Speak No Evil.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the whole point of that is
that that's a bummer.
Funny Games was one.
Funny Games made me mad. I guess Speak No Evil made me mad too. Speak No Evil and The Mist, I think, are the two that made me feel the worst.
Yep. Yep. Yes, those are very bleak.
They'll do it.
Oh, I can't even. The Mist. I don't think about it that much, but man, anytime I remember
it's pretty devastating.
It's tough.
That's pretty devastating. So this one was not. It was not devastating.
Yeah, great. Great.
So thanks for that.
You're gonna sleep easy tonight.
I'm gonna sleep easy tonight.
Great.
Maybe. No men under my bed.
Yeah.
Not even on International Men's Day.
Not even.
Not even. Get out of here.
All right. Well, we end every episode with a voice, but there's not really a voice in this one. So I'm just going to say in my regular voice.
That's fine.
From all of us here at Too Scary Didn't Watch. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, my friends, for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. If you had fun hanging with us, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at TSDW Podcast. And if you're interested in things like bonus episodes, video trailer reactions, and other cool content, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW Podcast. All right. We love you all forever and ever, starting a while ago and continuing into eternity. Adios.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.